Hello and welcome everyone to the Riverfront. This is episode number 501 of the world's most dangerous podcast, where we discuss the Cincinnati Reds and occasionally Dante Bichette.
Little old Dante.
I'm your host, Nate Dotson, and with me this week is my friend and yours, Tim Daniel. How the heck are you, brother Tim?
Nate, I'm fantastic. The fam and I, we went out to have a nice, delicious Skyline chili for dinner. It was wonderful. Ooh. And so now when I go to the gym after record this podcast, I'm going to be really, really low on energy. So,
yeah, you are. So my only regret from our awesome, awesome, awesome live show this past weekend was that my wife did not get to try Skyline chili first time. I just assumed there would be one in the airport. Mm-hmm. And perhaps there was somewhere, but we got to our terminal and they had a big giant Skyline chili coming soon.
Yeah, they have a gold star in CVG. Do you want me to send you some cans?
I mean, I'll get on Amazon or whatever.
I'm happy to do so.
Does it taste the same? Does it work out the
can? Yeah, it does.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. Then yes, I do want you to send me some cans.
Realistically, I know like Chad had some at the ballpark. I don't think it tastes the same at the ballpark as it does at the restaurant, but the cans are definitely correlate. Yeah.
Which is better, ballpark or restaurant?
Restaurant.
Interesting. Yeah. The ambiance, the atmosphere doesn't take the ballpark chili to a new level.
I mean, the $9.25 for a cheese cone does.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, you win. Yeah. I love it. Well, Tim, before we go any further, if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that like button. And as Chad likes to say, smash that subscribe button. If you're listening on the audio version, subscribe. We want to come to you every week. You don't even want to have to think about it. We'll just be there. You'll wake up, you'll turn on your phone, and you will be there. You get to hear Tim and my beautiful voices whenever you want. I'm a hillbilly. Tim, he has great diction. Love it. But you know what? You're stuck with me, so eat it. And one last thing. This show would literally not be possible without the support of our Patreon family. So if you would like to go a little deeper, a couple bucks here and there, join the family. We're in an awesome Slack channel talking about the Reds and movies and fantasy sports and immaculate grids and collectibles and comics and everything under the sun. That can be done over there at Patreon.
We now have two people in the wrestling channel on the Riverfront Slack.
All right.
Yeah.
Big merger with UFC, yeah. But you can find out more about that if you become the third person in the UFC,
UFC
channel at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. So, all right, let's get into this. First off, I mentioned it. We had the live show. It was one of the most fun weekends I've ever had. Tim, how are your vibes following that experience?
It was awesome, man. It was so cool that we, like, not only did we do this, you know, we had been planning this. We've been talking about this behind the scenes for months of how can we do something cool to kind of get our community together. And we had people, you know, not just in Cincinnati, we had people driving in. Scott Ruggio drove in from St. Louis to be there with us. That was awesome. Shout out to Scott. It was really, really kind and really, really gave a lot of time. We all got to meet each other's families finally. That was really, really neat.
That was great.
Yeah,
I think our guy really Isaac cool. made a bit of a trek too. It was great seeing those guys. Brandon,
yeah,
Hooper came up. Hooper didn't even get to go live show. He was in town for a wedding and just escaped from that on Friday and coming hang out.
Into the game, yeah, that was awesome. But really awesome time, man.
Yeah, a little known fact that none of us had really ever met each other face to face. It's always just been online. So really, really fun to do that. And unfortunately, the Reds did not celebrate our presence with victories.
No, they didn't. They did not. That's okay.
That is okay because as of recording, your Cincinnati Reds, Tim, are 76-72. They're third place in the NL Central. Seven back, seven when I type that. It could be different now. And they are currently zero games back. They are tied for first place in the race for last place in the wild card race. Wait, does that work?
You're like in The Hangover when like Zach Galifianakis and the blackjack scene just has all the numbers going around his head.
No matter how you slice it, if the season ended today, barring some tiebreakers stuff that you'll keep watching as the season progresses, the Reds, at least record-wise, are in playoff position. I don't know if it's just me. It hasn't felt like that. The team has not necessarily been playing inspired baseball, though they've been on a bit of an uptick since we left. 1-3 of, and I don't know. I'm somewhere between just sheer excitement for the opportunity to watch my favorite team play postseason baseball, and also ready for the season to be over and get there because it's been a slog. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm there, man. I think that, you know, you kind of get to this point, and this is kind of when my basketball switch comes on. NBA 2K comes out, so I'm getting ready for NBA season. So I'm kind of there. But, this, you know, obviously they are in a situation now where I'm still watching every day. And the fact that we're scoreboard watching and the fact that, you know, we're in this situation in September when, you know, we were talking about this team losing 90 games in March as a possibility. We're talking about losing 90 games and it being a good season, right? Because of what, you know, what the expectations were. And now we're looking at a team that is in a fight. They're 4 games above 500. They've got, what, 14 games left on the year. And they're fighting through it. You know, I will definitely be bummed if something worked out to where they didn't make it.
Yeah,
but I really believe they're going to make it. And no matter how everything works out here, you know, what a fun, fun summer. I was with some people last night who work in the Reds organization, just kind of talking with them.
And flex. Just said,
you know, flex, I guess. It just said that, you know, this was such an awesome, awesome year. And this ballpark was so much fun. The atmosphere was just different. And of course, they said, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, that's the key. We can hopefully look forward to a lot more of this. I have a theory that the reason I've been feeling this way, this sort of distance from this actual on-field success, has been not just related to the way the team's playing, but I was watching the new Planet Earth the other day, or what's called like My Blue Planet or something, the David Attenborough narrated nature stuff. And it's like how these fish and dolphins and sharks and whales, they, as soon as they're born, they instinctively know they have to go on this journey, on this trail. Like they come out the animal womb, whatever, they, the shell, whatever, and then they just go because thousands of years of genetics, their DNA tells them what to do. My DNA tells me to check out. Come September, the Reds are out of it every single year. It's not in my nature to be dialed in on the Reds right now. So I'm having to relearn some behavior that our generation of Reds fan has never experienced. And I don't know. It's pretty fun. I'm digging it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, normally this is like you have the downtime from the Reds to being a Bulls fan. I'm like, all right, cool. So here's the other franchise I have that just lives off of one decade and has a fan base that completely hates ownership and has like one thing that they go back on anytime they get an argument about the greatness of their franchise.
Oh God, the similarities. I never put those together. That's depressing.
That could be a podcast, Nate. That could be a podcast.
I'm sorry to save that one for the off season, but we get to do scoreboard watching.
Yeah.
In pretty the cool. Middle of September. In the last few days, we've liked what we've seen. Every team fighting for this last spot is scuffling to the gate. Like it is nobody's taking it by the reins and just trying to win this thing. But we say over and over again, all you got to do is get there. If you make it, anything can happen. So fingers crossed, we'll keep watching. Tune into us, tune into Tim on Sunday nights, and we're going to keep bringing it to you because we'll be there all season. And we'll be there in the off season because we're maniacs.
Little angels in the outfield for you.
Let's go. You got to believe, baby. You got to believe. Let's touch on the games. We said earlier that we lost 2 of 3 to stupid, stupid St. Louis. I hate losing to them more than any other franchise in baseball. I know that the Reds might have bigger rivals. There are other more hateable teams or more hated teams. Not for me. It's the Cardinals, 100%. They can go suck all the eggs. It's not good. There's only the only good thing I'm going to say about that was in Game 3, after we were gone, our boy Joseph Daniel Votto makes this comeback. Jonathan India comes back. They both go yard. And then Hunter Green reminds everybody that he's a really, really good pitcher.
Yeah.
What was your takeaway from that series?
So Friday obviously was not very fun. You know, you felt confident that Friday was going to be the day that would be fun if you had to pick one because who was on the mound. Just kind of Wilson Contreras went a little wild. And then Saturday, you know, they get off to an early lead. It doesn't fall apart. David Bell has one of his all-time ejections. Alejo Lopez has the funniest ejection of all time. Just literally just circumstance of one, when he yells, his whole body moves. Two, it was an absolutely atrocious call. He had every right to argue. And three, he was sent down the next day. So
free, like, Alejo. Free. He might actually be in jail after that tirade.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sunday, of course, you get Joey to homer. Hunter Green, to quote the great Jay-Z, allowed me to reintroduce myself. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. And, you know, the offense went a little crazy. Like, I was a little scared that Frito got hurt there. A little afraid there when he had that triple. But he got back up and then just, you know, hit a tank. So you at least got to salvage one in that series. And that was fun. And you get a chance to kind of end the season going there and kicking their ass to get in the playoffs. So
that's right. That was a big one to salvage, too. I mean, Hunter coming back from his little stint on the COVID IL, which I can't believe is a thing. And no other teams are dealing with it. To come back and go six innings pitch with one hit, one run, and nine strikeouts, buddy, that'll do.
That'll do. That'll play.
There was some chatter going around about people talking about moving him to the bullpen and that he's a bust. Get out of here with that.
Can we stop that?
Can we please stop that? We've been beating that drum all season long. He has been so good for someone that's barely pitched in the major leagues. It's madness.
I think if you just think in the big picture of these phenom pitchers, and don't get me wrong, I certainly think he could have been better in a lot of circumstances. So I'm not trying to let him off the hook, but you know, and I'm not comparing him to these people. So please do not send me something in my DM saying that I'm a psychopath, but Randy Johnson was not polished when he came up. Nolan Ryan wasn't polished when he came up. He just ended up being, you know, the best pitcher ever. Pedro Martinez was not polished. I'm not saying Hunter Green is any of those three guys. If he is, awesome. But, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight. Other than, you know, Strasburg came up and he was pretty polished and figured it out. He obviously had to retire this year, but which kind of sucks for baseball. But, you know, Kershaw, obviously. But you don't see that often. You don't see some guy who comes in and just immediately is just getting everybody out and is awesome. And Hunter's been very, very good. Before he went on the IL, if you look at his first starts there, his last stretch of starts at post-All-Star break last year and put them together, he was awesome. He was really, really, really good. He was, as Chad put it a couple weeks ago, he was the Reds' best starter by a long shot. So I think we need to just kind of relax. I understand that, you know, the situation's changed because they are far more competitive than we thought they'd be this year. And I love that they are, but we sometimes do have to dial it back and kind of go, all right, these guys are still figuring out how to play Major League Baseball. And it can be frustrating at times, but it still is what it is.
I don't know why people are getting so mad. I was told that this was never supposed to be the year.
Right.
So he's just saving it for next year. That's what I assume is happening. No matter what, awesome to see. If we can get a few more like that, this team really does have a chance. But we were looking at this stretch of baseball as the Reds sort of, like, it's like Saturday in a golf tournament, your moving day. Like, this is when the Reds have the chance to really take a hold of this thing. Losing 2 out of 3 to St. Louis was not the way to go about it. But you know what's good for what ails you, Tim? The Detroit Tigers.
Yes, it is. So
after a day off, the good guys went to the beautiful, beautiful, just thriving metropolis of Detroit. And they took 2 out of 3. So we're recording this after game 3 today. Took the first 2 in the series. Got back on track. A sweep would have been nice, but hey, this team's not out there being world beaters. We're not going to expect sweeps. We'll be happy when they come, at least when we're on the winning side. Game 1, Brandon Williamson, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah, not very good.
No, not a ton to say about that. He was not good at all. They did win the game in extra innings on a Tyler Stevenson walk-off. Nick Senzel and Harrison Bader had 2 hits each, and Indy with a couple ribbies. But the big story out of that game, and the next one really, Tim, was the bullpen.
And
they have been lights out of late. We won't talk, you know, get into today. Today was a bullpen day, so
yeah,
it was inevitable that some bad things were going to happen. But in game one win, 6 innings pitched, no earned runs. That'll do.
That'll play.
So yeah, Tyson's walks it off. We're feeling good. It wasn't a a beautiful win by any stretch of the imagination. But at this point in the season, doesn't matter. Don't care.
Right.
Game two, another one-run win. Solid games from our boy TJ Friedl. Noelvi Marte, another solid game. Mm-hmm. His return from getting beat up in a fist fight by Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
No. I don't think we didn't see it, though. We were walking into the stadium as it occurred.
That's true.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
There were rumors. Just kidding. He got hit by, was it a ground ball or what happened there?
I think it was a soft toss. I think they were just like warming their arms up and he kind of looked away. And then as he looked away, Ellie threw the pitch. You saw Ellie like kind of have one of those. For those on YouTube, I shrugged. but, you know, it's kind of a freak accident.
Yeah, he comes back with a shiner, misses a couple days, but he's a gamer. He's mm-hmm. a gamer, so he's back and had a big game in game two along with our boy CES. It was the second start for Connor Phillips, and not great. Not bad. Not great.
Yeah.
According to him, it was pretty bad. He was certainly disappointed with himself, but...
Which I like that.
Yeah, the book on him is that he is just a competitor. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's who he is. He's never going to be satisfied. What have you seen out of Connor Phillips, his first two starts?
That he's really, really young, and he's figuring this out. And not in a bad way, not insulting way, just kind of... The stuff is there. The stuff is absolutely there. I really hate the term, guys need to stop throwing and learning how to pitch. I think that's really lazy narrative. Yeah. But he's a guy that's figuring out how to pitch, right? And he's a guy that's putting it all together. And he'll have it seems like he'll have an inning where he's really rough, and then he'll have three or four where he looks really, really good. And then he'll have another inning where he's down. So he's kind of got the roller coaster thing going that you suspect from a guy just making a second big league start. I think he's battling for a spot, man. And, you know, with all these guys we have in the fighting for rotation spots, he's a guy that's making his case. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this dynamic plays out next year when Lodolo's back. And, you know, what do they do with Brandon Williamson? You know, Abbott, Green, and Ashcraft are no doubters. So everything's going to be really, really fascinating with how all that plays out next year.
Yeah, they certainly have no pitching depth this year. But if everybody's healthy, they could find themselves in a pretty enviable position just at the start of the 2024 season. So fingers crossed that we get that opportunity because it's been a while. He only went four innings pitched, three earned runs, but the bullpen, once again, came and saved the freaking day. Five more innings of zero earned run baseball, zero run of any kind. So that was 11 innings, no earned runs in games one and two. You can't say enough. They don't win the game without the bullpen both those times, and nobody has been harder on this Reds bullpen than old white dudes on Twitter and people on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We rail against this Reds pitching staff, not so much them as the fact that they've been thrust into these positions because of what I would call roster management malpractice, just not getting the quality arms. But they have been leagues and bounds better than we ever could have predicted. Maybe we need to calm down a little bit and give them a little more credit.
I think the most impressive thing about yesterday's game is when TJ Antone goes down, no one is out there freaking out, you know, that comes in for the bullpen. No one's anxious or nervous, or they're not letting the emotions of seeing their buddy get injured again take anything from them. Lucas Zim just takes the ball, gets the out, and go down the rest of the game. I thought that was really impressive because you've seen those games quite a bit where a guy has to come in sooner than he's ready and the game falls apart. God, we've seen that how many times with the Reds team over the years?
Almost every game this season.
Yeah, just about.
It's felt
anytime
like
anytime Angibo came in with a runner in scoring position, I was pretty frightened. so to see how they put that together was awfully impressive. I know it's the Tigers, but they got a lot of young talent. I don't think they're too far away if they manage it correctly, which is, I know what I'm saying here on this podcast of all podcasts, but I don't think the Tigers are too far off from being really good.
No, they've been frisky all year. They were sneaky in contention in a admittedly horrible AL Central fairly late into the year. Up to the All-Star break, they could have made an argument to do a soft sell. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you take every win. They all mean the same. They all count the same.
Exactly.
But that bullpen really is just, it's carried this team at times. I did not see it coming. I think they are far outperforming anybody's expectations, and they're going to need to keep it up because this starting rotation is getting held together by masking tape and chewing gum that's been underneath the school desk for 3 years.
Cracked number two pencils and a little rubber band. Yeah.
It's not great. But we had game three. We're feeling good. We're ready for the sweep. And we got to watch your Cincinnati Reds game three starter in the middle of a playoff hunt, late September, Derek Law.
On his birthday.
Get the fever. Oh, my God. What's Derek Law doing starting games, meaningful games at this point? I'm not saying he did bad. I don't dislike Derek Law. But come on, man. Can't we find anybody better than that?
Yeah. So I didn't get to watch the game today because of the wonderful people at YouTube TV and their strike against the MLB Network. But I heard it did not go very well.
Yeah, it went about as well as you could expect. The Reds bullpen, after giving up, after pitching 11 innings over two games, were asked to pitch the entire game in game three because, we got crawled. We once again, hashtag got crawled because they did not get the pitching. We've litigated for hours on end about what they should have done at the trade deadline. What about the offseason when they didn't have to trade prospects? They could just sign dudes. But no, we got Luke Weavers, and it's gross, and I hated it.
I saw he got DFA'd by the Mariners.
DFA'd by the Mariners, picked up by the Yankees.
Oh, boy.
Every young kid's dream.
Really hope he's not getting apartments in all these places. A lot of leases to pay.
The Motel 6. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game three was ugly. They got beat. Don't really want to say too much more about it. Some interesting intel from one of our guys, Carlos, about some observations he had watching Joey swing. Hoping not overstepping by saying this, but it looked like he was back to his make contact, get base hits, batting stance. And you could say maybe that was what he thought the situation called for. Or maybe he's still feeling some lingering effects from these injuries. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to hope he's just doing some maintenance, staying healthy, because he's going to be really important in a stretch run. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or anything else about the Detroit series.
I haven't been to Comerica Park, but every time I see it on television, it just looks stunning. And I've got to catch a game there.
All right. Next Riverfront live show, Comerica Park.
Oh, that's not a terrible idea. Just go do one on the road somewhere.
Do one to only on the road. I like this.
We go to Wrigleyville when they play the Cubs one time. And
we just do it out in the parking lot, tailgating.
We're going to pay for Dwight to go around with us and produce a ball. But
that's true. That's true. Dwight, our legendary producer.
Held us together.
Thanks, Dwight.
This weekend. Yeah, he's the man.
The only other thing, I guess, that was the last time the Reds are going to play against Miguel Cabrera, which hasn't happened super often. But shouts out to, absolutely one of the best hitters of my generation.
Yeah, a GOAT for sure. Yeah.
And one of the more, stunning body transformations. Watching that guy get old just makes me feel better about what I got going on, except I can't hit.
Yeah. I mean, he really can't anymore either, but
that's true. Good memories from that guy, though. Absolute legend. Seeing him and Joey on the same field was pretty freaking cool.
It was. And I saw, I think both organizations had some sort of tweet they shared of those two together. The Tigers had one and the Reds had one. Yeah. So that was neat.
Yeah.
Imagine being Will Benson when you're giving that bat away.
Yeah. What was standing that about?
Standing with Joey Votto and Miguel Cabrera.
I wonder pretty why cool. Will Benson got that nod.
I don't know. No one's explained that, but
I'm decided to read everything into it.
Yeah.
Fire David Bell, Will Benson, player manager, and also starter in game seven of the World Series. Pitching.
There we go.
Real quick, Tim, this episode is brought to you by our good friends over at SeatGeek, the simplest, most easy to use ticket purchasing platform for baseball, basketball, concerts, anything. Could not be easier. Red means bad, green means good. Buy your tickets. And if you do it, use the code word Riverfront for $20 off your first order. We did it when we bought tickets to go to the game. I know that I can see the stats. And other people have been doing it too. And we like that. We appreciate that.
We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you all so much for using the code. I used it to get some KISS tickets. Ooh. So pretty pumped.
You can even use them for Kiss, who are somehow miraculously still touring today.
Money talks.
All right, let's get into some news of the week. A couple interesting things. They had an article in the Inquirer talking about how the Reds are planning to limit Andrew Abbott's workload. I don't know how much to read into this. He has 3 scheduled starts left. He's already 35 more innings pitched than last year, which was a career high. And he's not necessarily been, throwing seeds lately. His last 4 starts have not all been great. 3 of the 4 have been fairly bad. So what are you noticing from Andrew Abbott as we're getting towards this home stretch? He says he's fine, by the way. Of course.
I think it's just the wall. And also, he's got film on him, a lot more film now that he's had so many starts underneath his belt that teams are probably just kind of figuring him out a little more. It's up to him to make some adjustments. I am fully confident he will. He's a dude for sure. I have all the confidence in the world that he can be at worst the number 2 starter in this team in the future. Maybe even the ace, depending what Hunter has to say about it and what Lodolo and Ashcraft and everyone under the sun has to say about it. That's part of this group. But I just think it's just kind of part he's hitting that rookie wall that we see quite a bit. It's part teams have got enough film on him now to put a scouting report together, and it's up to him now to make some adjustments.
Yeah, I'm going to be tracking this. When I first read that article, I thought it said that they were limiting him to only 3 more starts. I was like, oh, they put a cap? Like, what does this mean? Why is nobody talking about this? This is wild. But I'm just really hoping for a quick bounce back. He's going in that next series. They need him. I would like to see him come out and be that guy that he has been so many times this season.
Yeah.
And not hitting this proverbial wall that you see so many guys hit. You know, the tired arm is a real thing. So keep an eye on that, Reds fans. You know what would have prevented that and made this easier? If they would have gotten pitching.
They're going to be really mad at us about this episode, aren't they?
Some people will be. Mm-hmm. We talked about Ellie breaking Noelvi's face. Noelvi's back with a shiner. Ellie was then subsequently dropped down in the lineup. Rumor has it that this was related. What do you think?
Is this punishment?
We do not deal with facts on this show. That is pure speculation on our part.
Yeah.
But Ellie did get dropped. He's been struggling at the plate for a while. A lot of people have been calling for it. What were your thoughts on it?
I think at the situation, it's the right move. I fully believe Ellie De La Cruz is going to hit his ceiling and be a top of the lineup guy for his career. But at the moment, it's another thing we just talked about. Ellie has not made adjustments to people making adjustments to him. So you're starting to see those stats flatline a little more. He's not stealing bases as much because he's not getting on base enough. So I like him being here. I think a situation right now where you have Ellie, Will Benson, and Ty Steve as your 7, 8, 9 is pretty frightening. He looked a little bit more comfortable in the Detroit series. I wouldn't necessarily say he had great at-bats all the time, but you could tell that the swing was kind of where it needs to be for the time being. He came in and got a steal yesterday, had 2 walks today. You know, I know the game wasn't very good, but we'll take that. So I think it's the right move for right now. But I do believe that he isn't going to be, a 1-3 hitter in the big leagues. I'm not one of these people jumping off the Ellie De La Cruz bandwagon. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah. Could not agree more. Don't need to go too much deeper into that. He's going to be fine. He's too talented not to.
Right.
But I think it was probably a good move to move him down. I think they could have done it sooner. I think that they have. David Bell's lineups always confound me. So
yeah,
I won't get into why he does.
It's also his birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, David Bell. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Just kidding. Have a great birthday. So I wouldn't read too much into it. He's just not been hitting that well. They've needed a little bit of a jolt. And, if he can provide that from the 7-hole, love to see it.
Yeah.
By far, the worst news of the week. TJ Antone left Wednesday's game 2 with an elbow injury. I think the entire Cincinnati Reds fan base collectively held their breath at the same time. The earth actually rose a couple inches.
Mm-hmm.
All the reports I'm hearing after this so far have been positive.
Yeah, same.
He does not think it's serious. It is the same elbow, which is terrifying. But he says that it was more precautionary than anything. His velocity was a little bit down. He could have kept pitching through it, but the team rightfully shut him down. He says he's hopeful that he could be out for a couple weeks and come back. I don't know that I would risk anything like that if I was the Reds front office. But if this is truly not a super serious injury, that's about as good news as we could get outside of the Reds clinching the playoffs this season.
Yeah, man. I was really worried when he came back for the obvious reason he hasn't pitched in the big leagues in so long, and just, you know, getting his chance to pitch again. But also, last time we saw him pitch was when they started cracking down on spider tack and things like that. So I was really worried that he was a victim of the success of that. And yeah. I'm so happy I was wrong, because since he's been back, he has been filthy. Edge, you know, such a good pitcher, man. So I hope, like you said, I hope this is nothing more than just kind of let it rest, be back for the playoffs. I'm just not going to get my hopes up just because history says otherwise.
Yeah, all I'm going to do is sit back and hope for the best. Hope he is the Reds pitcher in 2024, because the talent and the personality, I love having that guy on the team.
Yeah,
he's so much fun. So
I think he should bring back the cornrows.
He should absolutely bring back the cornrows. I think I should bring back the cornrows.
You of all people should definitely bring back the cornrows.
My wife disagrees. TJ, you can rock it, though. Well done. Get back soon, buddy. So he goes. Ben Lively comes back. Pitched today. Just, you know, doing Ben Lively things. Gave up some runs and ate some innings. Carson Spears, whoever that is, he came back. Connor Phillips got sent back to Louisville, where he definitely needs to go and refine his game a little more. But thank you for the two starts. Extremely valuable at the most important time of the year. I have a feeling we'll see him again soon. How soon? Anyone can tell. Other than that, Edwin Arroyo got promoted to Double A. 19 years old. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
To see that. He started out dreadfully this season. And don't go look at his slash line. Look at it for his last, like, 350 at-bats. He's been raking. So, I don't know. I wish they could have got pitching, but I'm glad they held on to that guy because I like him a lot.
Me too.
Nick Northcutt got promoted to Triple A. I don't have a lot of intel on Nick Northcutt, but some people were happy. Friend of the show, Sydney, super happy. I don't know. Do great things, Nick Northcutt.
Yeah.
If you help the Reds, we love you. Looking ahead a little bit, but first I want to take a quick pause because I harped on the get the pitching thing a little bit. I'm sorry. Because the Reds are in the middle of a playoff race in September. And I got to remind myself to get real excited about this because this is flipping cool. So,
where's your Ted Lasso believe sign?
We need to bust that out.
Yeah.
All right. That's next episode. We're making it happen.
I like it.
Gotta believe, baby. I'm looking ahead. The Reds are going to New York City to hang out with they're going to get drinks, pregame and postgame cocktails with Luke Weaver. But they will not be playing Luke Weaver's team. 3 against the Mets, who've been playing okay. And it's not going to be a cakewalk. I don't think there's a ton of difference between the way that them and the Reds are playing right now. And they just did us some big favors by beating the tar out of Arizona a couple times.
Thanks, Mets. After
that, back home for 3 against Minnesota and 3 against Pittsburgh. Final homestand of the season. Some are speculating that it might be Joey Votto appreciation weekend. I will not speculate that because he's going to be a Red in 2024 to break the home run record.
Yep.
And win a World Series.
Yep.
But we digress. And then they go on the road to close it out with 2 in Cleveland. The battle for the Ohio Cup lives on. And then 3 against St. Louis. Tim, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little worried that this playoff race, this hunt for the Reds October, is going to come down to the last game of the season, a win-or-go-home situation. And the stupid, stupid St. Louis Cardinals are going to ruin everything.
Yeah.
Please tell me I'm wrong.
I do think you're wrong, but I can understand having that worry just because of the PTSD that we've gotten from the Cardinals over the last, I don't know, our whole lives. Eric Davis wearing a Cardinals jersey is probably one of my worst feelings of all time as far as a sports fan. Did not like it. That'd be like Joe Burrow wearing a Steelers jersey. I just couldn't do it. Couldn't handle it. Better never happen. But it's kind of a thing where the schedules are so, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to get into the favorable schedule thing, are we?
But no, because the last time the Reds had an incredibly favorable schedule in a stretch run, the Cardinals won every single game for the rest of their lives.
They won like 75 games in a row. And
so there were too many people earlier this year being like, well, at least the Cardinals aren't going to be the team that keeps the Reds out of it this year. Well,
yeah,
there's time.
Yeah.
But it can't happen this year, can it? It can't.
Don't bring that hocus pocus on us right now, people, because we need this, okay? We lost 100 games last year, damn it. We earned the right as Reds fans to watch this team compete for the playoffs this year. We will not let those dirty, filthy St. Louis Cardinals and that stupid arch and that stupid stadium named after a beer, the third portion of that damn name, get a better name, okay? Drink better beer.
Drink better beer. Choose happiness. That's it. We're saving all negativity, directing it towards the Cardinals. Yeah. Everything else, positive happiness, good vibes only. Mm-hmm. Channel Gino. We got this.
Heck yeah.
Good vibes only. The other teams in the hunt, they have pretty tough schedules. The Diamondbacks still have to play the Cubs and Giants, so it's pure dogfight there. Cubs are facing the Diamondbacks, Braves, and Brewers. Braves clinched already, so, I mean, they're going to be trying to win. Of course, because they get the one seed on the line, but keep an eye on that. Giants have the D-backs, the Dodgers twice, fighting with the Braves for that one spot, so love to see that. And then Carlos's Padres, and then the Marlins face the Braves and Brewers, plus six against the Mets. So,
and Jazz Chisholm's hurt again.
And Jazz is hurt again. That's something that gets said a lot.
Yeah, love it really that. Does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd love for that not to be the case. He's electric. I love that guy.
Me too.
But lost in all this is that the way these teams are all playing, it's not just third wild card spot or die for the Reds. They can sneak in and get that number two spot. The Cubs have been playing a pretty ugly brand of baseball lately. I think they had lost 5 of 7 as of yesterday or something like that. So keep an eye on it. The Reds just got one little heater, one little 5-game win streak right here. Take control of this. Make people chase you. Play from the front. Lead with your chest. Good vibes only. I'm excited.
Me too, man. Old friends Sonny and Kyle Farmer are coming to town next week. So hopefully they stay out of our way and let us go to the playoffs because they're already going to the playoffs. So
is Sonny scheduled to pitch?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the probables yet. I hope so because Luis did not pitch in the Seattle series and I was very bummed.
Yeah, I'm torn between wanting him to pitch and wanting the Reds to win, which they will do anyway because it's positive vibes only. Also, love you, Sonny.
Yeah.
You think they'll do one of those
For sure.
Career videos for Kyle Farmer? Smashing lefties, misplaying ground balls.
Catching at times.
Getting hit with pitches. It's going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim. Any last thoughts before we jump into some viewer mail?
I don't think I have anything. Oh, by the way,
I do have
to say one quick thing before we get to this. From this past weekend, we thanked everybody. We did not thank the lovely people over at Knockback Nats who took very good care of us this weekend.
That's true. And we took very good care of them by ordering way too much food. And our friends over at The Stretch, thanks to them for hosting us that night. It was so much fun. That Banks is rocking. I loved it. I love it over there.
Yeah, once I picked Nate and Chad's wife up from the airport, I don't know if Chad prefers to have her name or not out there, so I'll say Chad's wife out of respect. I knew it was going to be a very fun weekend as soon as you guys got in my car and you were all fired up. So
it was good. I hope we didn't disappoint. We'll be back soon. Maybe for a playoff game.
We took those.
Tim, this might be the first time that you have done this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we have a new member of the Patreon family.
It is.
And as our regular listeners will know, when you become a new member of the Patreon family up to a certain tier, you get a position on the Beer League softball team. So I'm excited to see where you put newest member of the family. Thank you so much. We are glad to have you. Can't wait to get you active in the Slack channel and just dive into all this nonsense. Welcome, Jeff Inman. Tim, what position do you have, brother Jeff?
I feel like Jeff Inman, going back to our Little League days, is not a DH, but we used to call an AH because he just goes up there, We're so stacked defensively. We don't need him to go get a glove. We just need him to go hit dingers. And that's what he does. Puts him right over the right field wall. Runs way too fast around the bases. Straight Adam Rosales is it. It's my kind of guy.
I love it. The guy hits bombs. And there's nobody that can argue with that. I got him playing second base when he's out there. Maybe a little short field. Could get a little short field in beer league softball. But my guy hits bombs. Jeff Emmett hits like Jeff Kent. Welcome former to the MVP. Family. Welcome to the team.
Former star and survivor, you. Jeff Kent.
Ooh, so you come here for the Reds content, but we give you the fun facts.
Yep.
I love it. All right, let's get into these questions.
Cool.
Our first, these questions, as always, come from our friends over at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you, too, can join the family. First question is Kyle Kapler. He says, be honest, how many things broke the right way for this team to be where they are? You want to bat lead up on this one, Tim?
Is everything a good answer? How many teams do you see that kind of have all these young guys come up at once and they all contribute? Not, oh, hey, they were here for a couple weeks and they struggle. We got to send them down. Lived and died with them on a day-to-day basis to be where they are. You know, the 12-game win streak in June was unbelievable. So fun, you know, just so fun. And everyone that you were talking about and reading about saying, I hope they're good, we're good. Yeah. We haven't talked about Matt McClain in a couple weeks because he hasn't been at the big league club, but my dude was nothing short of fantastic.
God, I miss
when he was healthy and on the active roster. I heard from a little birdie he was running at the stadium this week. So, yeah.
Love
can't
see
say
that.
Who I heard it from, but I heard the rumors. So, could be seeing him back soon, but. It also helps the Cardinals were bad when we all thought that they were probably going to run away at the Central at the beginning of the year. We were obviously idiots and didn't know any better. I think that this has just been one of those years where it's been so fun and everything's in their favor. So to answer the question, how many things? I think the answer is everything.
Yeah, almost all the things. Their record in Luke Weaver starts.
Madness. Yeah.
The fact that the Cubs are... Yeah, a plus 93 run differential, highest in the Central. I saw a stat the other day that if you just flipped the team's records in one-run games, it wouldn't look good for our Reds.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be in the position they are. So there's
another local
thing.
Luke being good when Tyler Stevenson wasn't.
Local Luke being perfectly fine, which nobody saw coming. I don't know. Everything's broken right. I mean, you have to. You have to get some luck. Every team that makes the playoffs is going to have some luck. At some point or another. Some teams just need a little more. And these Red Legs definitely needed it. They got it. Let's see if they can capitalize on it.
I agree.
Next question comes from Joey Gaditza. Joey says, you know, the man. Joey's the man. My second favorite Joey.
From Canada.
Third favorite Joe. Yeah, from Canada. You know, baseball, in my opinion, is the hardest sport to make the postseason. Such a slog to get there. The fact that our Reds are right there this late in the season is a testament to the group. Everything that has happened this season, adversity aplenty, and an ownership group who, quite frankly, has no business owning a team. I like what you did there. I ask you, it's got to be the story of the year, right? Do you think the Reds, the resurgent Reds, is the story of the year?
Yeah, I think it's the most fun. If you look around the teams that are in playoff contention, I don't think anyone else really shocks you besides the Reds, maybe the Twins, but that's the AL Central is. Horridly bad. So, and maybe the Cubs too. I think I literally said like four or five times if I had to pick a team to go 81-81 this year was going to be the Cubs. But they're the most fun. They're exciting. They're all young dudes who are figuring out as they go, and they're all really, really good. And they show you what the future can be as they learn more and more about playing in the big leagues and learn situations and strategies. So, yeah, I certainly think they're the most fun story in baseball. I do think David Bell deserves conversation for getting manager of the year. I don't think he'll win it, but I do think he deserves being the conversation.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. We all know I've had my grievances with David Bell, but
same.
You got to give credit when it's due. The team has been playing great based on a season-long sample size. So I think that had they kept playing anywhere close to where they were during that little month and a half, 2 month stretch, then they would be the story of the season. Their play these last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks has really quieted that conversation. They were the talk of baseball for a month and a half. Man, that was seems like so long ago. You know, they're in first place at the deadline. Oh, yeah. Positive vibes only. So, I mean, there's some other great stories, though. Ronald Acuña Jr. has been incredible. Matt Olson tying the Braves home run record. The Braves have just been a juggernaut all season long.
Julio Rodriguez is insane August.
Julio Rodriguez going nuts. The Orioles being, in a lot of ways, you know, the 2023 Reds are a whole lot like the 2022 Orioles. If you're looking for a some way to squint and see how soon they could be in World Series contention. So there's been a lot of great things this year, but I think if the Reds can get just a little bit warmer, maybe make a charge toward that second wild card spot so they go into the playoffs with some momentum, then yeah, I think they're right there and the buzz is going to be back and nobody's going to want to face this young, hungry team. So good question, Joey. Loved it. Next up, Seth Shaner. He says, if the Reds make the playoffs this season, will it be a huge success? But if they make the playoffs and advance it all, will we look back at the last few weeks when COVID and injuries created a roster so in flux it was hard to keep track of who was on the roster and call the season as impressive as we've seen in quite some time? Yes.
I think if that happens, me, Chad, and Nate are going to take out a loan on the Riverfront offices and do our next 30 for 30 about the 2023 Reds. Very similar to the 85 Mets one, but not at all. So... yeah, absolutely. It'll be a success and be super fun and just an unbelievable time.
Yeah, if they break the postseason advancement drought, then I get giddy just thinking about it. I'm gonna lose it. I'm gonna be back in Cincinnati. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, you
too.
Are.
It's gonna happen too. Like it's not an if. It's a win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they play the stupid Brewers. Brewers don't want to play the Reds.
Yeah, they. We want the smoke. They don't want the smoke.
You also have beer in your name. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the Reds need beer in their name.
Yeah.
Red Stripes. Cincinnati Red Stripes. We're changing it here. All right. Next question comes from James Urban. James says, it is September and I'm still watching meaningful Reds baseball. Anyone else just get chills thinking about that? Yeah. Yeah, James.
Yeah.
You do.
Absolutely.
I know it's just a wild card battle, but it really feels good to be here after no one expected this Reds team to be anywhere near the playoffs at year's start. Absolutely, James. Enjoy the ride. Ride the wave. It's incredible.
Absolutely incredible. It's couldn't have asked for more from the summer.
Yeah. Pay respects to our founding father, Chad. What a time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Next question, Corey Ryan. So, Tim, you weren't here for all these. I wish you had been. Corey has asked us a series of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle related questions that
I've been answering them on my show.
Yeah, I've gotten so much joy from. Knew you would too. I'm glad you get to be here for this one. But he kept the saga going for one more day. Corey says, gentlemen, after relentlessly pelting Evil Bob and his goons back into the shadows, it's safe to say we won't hear from them for a while. Your Turtle Reds have earned themselves some time to rest and recover. What we need now is some B-level talent to patrol the streets while they heal up. Who are your four favorite Reds innings eaters of all time? End of the rotation, not great, but solid dudes. You know, guys, we sure could have used this season. I love this question. He also has a bonus question. How about a good inning eater movie? A movie that you like to put on just to pass the time that I also want to get into. So breaking the one question rule. But it is allowed because these are good questions.
These are great questions, yeah.
All right, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So for my innings eater movie, by the way, Tombstone, 100% is my go-to, my number one. After that, if I'm in a comedy mood, I'm going Anchorman. And then Shawshank Redemption and any action movie starring Nick Cage. The Rock, Con Air, give them both to me.
Like it.
As for the other part of the question, My four favorite. That's what we said. Who are your four favorites? So I'm going to go Bronson Arroyo, Reds Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He very much fit that mold. Aaron Harang.
I had him
up there.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Leake. Yep. Got a lot of joy watching Mike Leake, who I was shocked to find out. He's in the top 50 in Reds in innings pitched all time.
Oh, yeah.
And then the late, the great Tom Browning is my number four. Another guy, super reliable. Through a lot of innings, never quite got the credit he deserved, but that's a pretty solid foursome. Who you got, Tim?
I'm gonna go my guy Jose Rio. You know, only
okay
World Series MVP.
He was a little too good. I thought about putting him on. Like he might be too good for me to put on there. He's more than just an innings eater.
Yeah, Johnny Cueto was one that I guess qualified as too good. So I couldn't put him there.
You can interpret the question however you want to, Tim.
In that case, Johnny Cueto.
Heard.
I'm gonna go by dog Sonny Gray.
Yeah,
dude, just coming over from the Yankees when everyone thought he was done and what he was able to do here. So good. I miss him. Miss him every day. Hope he's doing well.
I also used to be like, man, Sonny Gray, he only goes 5 innings, it seems like, every time. This season, 5 innings would be refreshing. I wish we could get 5 innings from starters ever. It'd be great.
Yeah, no kidding. And my fourth would be, I'm going to go Denny Nagel. I think people forget how good Denny Nagel was in the 99 season for the Reds.
Yeah, that's a good one. Fantastic. Yeah.
Team, they got to go left. I got to go one lefty in there.
Yeah, good call. Very good call. How about your movie?
So there's like a million of them, but for those who know, I'm a Disney fanatic, go to Disney World yearly, didn't go this year for obvious reasons, but I stand in the belief that Goofy movie is one of the top 5 Disney movies of all time.
Ooh. Are you the only person that has real estate on that island?
Potentially, but it has kind of made a nice little comeback. Like it's becoming a little cult classic. Yeah. Powerline's the man, first off. The best fake music of all time is Powerline.
I'm going to have to take your word for it until I have a kid because I've never seen it.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. It's only an hour and a half, and it's a great story about a father and son trying to reconnect.
Okay. You know what? Maybe I have seen it, actually.
Yeah. But I literally have the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie poster hanging up in my basement because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's what got me to it was started my fanhood with the turtles. So
we get to see some turtles this weekend outside the stadium too. So
yeah, they took a great picture of me with Raphael.
The Reds won, but are lost. But Tim won. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, Rich Thompson. He says, "Gentlemen, I want to believe in quote marks that the Reds will win another World Series before the U.S. government officially acknowledges that we are not alone in the universe." Which quote marks should I believe will happen first?
2 weeks.
P.S. Yes, I was a fan of Chris Carter's The X-Files, too. What's happening first? Reds win the World Series or the government announces they have discovered intelligent life?
I'm going to go with intelligent life because there's already stuff going around. So
you see the weird Mexico alien?
Course? Yeah, that thing.
Oh, man, the memes have been awesome. Incredible. The internet, undefeated. Horrible, undefeated. Hilarious, all the things. I'm going to go... It does feel like they're dropping this information to desensitize us a little bit. I'm going to go World Series because we said good vibes only. And the good vibes have only gotten more good, gooder, as the kids say.
And viber.
And they're going to win the World Series in 2023. Let's go. Okay, maybe the vibes were too good there for a minute.
That's all right.
All right, next question. Brian Bowdy, playoff confidence picks time. Say the Reds sneak on into the third wildcard spot and they split the first two wildcard games versus the Brewers. Which Reds pitcher do you most want starting game 3? And then the second question, if the Reds are down a run on the top of the ninth, 2 outs, runners on second and third, which batter do you most want up in that spot with the chance to drive in the tying and go-ahead runs? So you got one clutch pitcher, one clutch hitter. Who you got?
Pitcher, I'm going to go Andrew Abbott. I know he's had a little bit of a slide, but both of his starts against Corbin Burns, he may have taken the loss. He was hanging with them and was really good. Yeah. And then runners on second and third, chance to take the lead in the game. Give me Matt McClain.
Ooh. All right. I like it, though. I don't agree. I don't have any problem with those picks. They made my final rounds. But for a pitcher, I'm going to go with Hunter. I just think that he is the most polished and most composed right now. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him. And I'm a little wary of, rolling out a rookie if I get to wave my magic wand in this scenario. So I'm going to go with Hunter as my starter. I know that our regular listeners are shocked I didn't pick Graham Ashcraft, but
yeah,
he already threw a complete game shutout in game 2, so I didn't need to.
Right.
As for the hitter, my heart says Joey. You only got the most experience up there, but Joey's never experienced that scenario. So I am not going to go with my heart, but go with my head and choose Spencer Steer. I love his two-strike approach. his ability to still make things happen and put the ball in play and not strike out in those kind of situations. So Spencer Steer, we both went with rookies.
We did.
How wild is that?
That's since 2023 Cincinnati Reds.
Wild card. I want TJ Friedel to bunt.
I might throw something through a television if that happens.
Please don't make that happen. All right, final question. And another one that we could do an entire podcast on. Rex Scott says, David Bell, like most managers, experiments with his lineup choices based on who is facing us on the mound. I wish that was completely true instead of just sometimes true. Based on current personnel, what do you guys think is the ideal Reds lineup versus righties, and what's the ideal lineup versus southpaws? Do you want to just go we pick our leadoff hitter, I go, you go, and then go down the list?
That works for me.
All right, well, let's start with versus righties because this is my preferred lineup, and it's the one that happens most often. Leadoff, I went Will Benson.
Same. I was going the same place.
Let's go. Love the on-base percentage there. Also, this exercise, are we pretending Matt McClain is healthy?
I'm going with it.
Okay. All right, because him and Noel V. Marte can change some things if they're in the lineup. So I have Matt McCain in the two-hole against righties.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to go Spencer Steer at three.
I also have Spencer Steer at three.
Yep.
Clean up.
We go. Go J-Andy DH-ing. No. Disregard. Just thought about it. I'm going Jake Fraley, number four.
Ooh, I also went Jake Fraley at four. We are four for four so far.
Yeah.
In the five hole with some runners on base in front of him, if Rake didn't already knock him in, I got our guy, our beloved Joseph Daniel.
Same.
All right. Are we going to get all nine? Let's go. I love this.
I don't know.
This is where it gets weird. Who do you have in the six hole?
Ellie.
No way. I also have Ellie in the six hole.
Okay.
All right. You get a seven.
Man, running out of position spots. I'm going to go Noel V.
Noel V. Okay. This is the first place we differ. I love the pick, especially the way he's been swinging the bat lately. I went with CES. I'm not as big of a platoon guy as David Bell's, we're going to find out in this exercise.
Yeah.
I like my guys to also have to face pitchers in the later innings.
Yeah.
So you go Noel V, I go CES. Who you got in the eighth spot?
T. Steve.
I also have Ty Steve batting eighth. And then at ninth, I had trouble with this one because in my heart of hearts, I want to put TJ Friedel, but I don't like having Noel V. Marte on the bench.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Friedel just to pay him respects for everything he's done this year, and that will be the case.
Do we not put him in the lineup?
No. So if in the nine hole where
resets the order, yeah.
All right, so that's a pretty solid lineup against righties. I love that. Lefties, a little bit different. Who you got batting leadoff against lefties?
Matt McClain.
I went with John India. I got him in the lineup, and I like him leadoff.
Yeah.
But McClain's a great pick. I have McClain at two. Who'd you have it to?
Spencer Steer.
Okay. I had Steer at three. Who'd you have there?
Ooh, I probably should have done that. I'll go India.
Indian three. Am I talking to David Bell right now?
Yeah.
Listen, you're fired. Sorry, I got negative. Got dark for a minute. You're
back to dark.
Back cleanup. I got CES.
Hunter Renfro.
Renfro. I like Renfro off mine, but yeah, I thought about it.
Yeah.
I voted with my heart a little bit here. I got Joey again at number five.
Same.
Joey's batting against pitchers of any arm. Will Benson at six for me. Who you got?
Ellie.
I like it. This is the one where I branched out. David Bell does not like to pitch Will Benson against lefties. Yeah. I just want him in the lineup, man. I get the platoons are a real thing, but I love his on-base skills, and I want him in that lineup. I need him in that lineup. So, Will Benson for me at seven. I went with the Friedel Marte split again. One of those two. TJ Friedel back from the left side, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to go Nicholas Peterson-Zell.
Oh, you did it. I knew you would do it.
Yeah. He hits lefties. No matter where he's at in the order, he hits lefties.
Are you going to pitch it for him, though, when a righty comes in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Give me that at least. Yeah. All right. And then I'm going to round it out. I've got Ty Steve at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ellie, 9.
Mm.
Ellie, my guy, has been atrocious against righties. No, he's been bad against.
He's
been bad against both, let's be honest. But batting from the right side of the plate has been tough for Ellie so far. So you're still my lineup, big guy. I still want you out there getting on base and causing havoc, but you're doing it from the 9-0 line.
Yeah, I think I'll go Harrison Bader there.
Fair enough. Bader's not in my lineup because this is a scenario where I want to be happy, and I don't like looking at Harrison Bader. Yeah. So, yeah, the only dudes I'm playing games with, Fraley and India, screw those platoons. Do your thing, David Bell, but just not for me. That's pretty much it.
I like it.
All right. There you go, Rex. Hope that helps. I'm not sure it did, but I had fun thinking about it, so I appreciate the question.
We probably fired.
That is going to do it for us, Tim. Any final thoughts? You want to let us know what's going on around the riverfront? Any just vibes checks? What you got?
Yeah. Yeah. So Joe and Greg had a really excellent Bengals show yesterday recapping the monstrosity that was playing in Cleveland and getting us ready for the Ravens game on Sunday. Greg has a great breakdown, realistically, of kind of how the teams match up against each other and why Baltimore is continuously nothing more than a regular season team. So really, really good breakdown, really good thought process. Greg kind of goes from the football analyst, not just the Bengals fan. So I really appreciated that. And Joe adds some great insights to that as well. And then Ryan and Ryan holding it down on UC football coverage for us at Riverfront U, riverfrontcincy.com. They will be at Nippert this Saturday for Nip at Night, which is a really, really, really weird name to me.
Doesn't
really feel SFW, but they'll be taking on Miami of Ohio for the Liberty Bell, which for some reason, no, it's not the Liberty Bell, whatever stupid bell it is. They like to act like that's a rivalry thing, and it's ridiculous to me because whatever, but you see with their weak ass schedule once again. Listen, playing a weak ass team.
Keep your biases out of this.
Yeah. And then so I got the Xavier coverage there on the site as well. Announced, it was officially announced that Rick Pitino's first game back in the Big East was the head coach of St. John's against the Xavier Musketeers at Carneseca Arena, which is the worst arena in college basketball, I'm pretty sure. Looks like a high school gym.
Yeah, fair enough. So things are busy around the riverfront. Loving all the content everybody's been putting out. We got a lot more exciting things on the way, so stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Tim, I mean, just all I want to part with is keep the good vibes flowing, guys. Like we're in the thick of things. We're watching games that matter.
Yeah.
September, what is today? The 15th when this comes out. September 15th, the halfway point in the final month of the season, the Reds are in it.
Yeah, buddy.
And that's all we can ask for.
All we can
ask for. All right. Well, thank you to everyone for tuning in. We appreciate you. Thank you for supporting the Riverfront. Tell your friends. That helps us grow. Do the subscribing and the following and the liking, all that good stuff. And once again, huge, huge, huge shout out and thank you to our supporters over at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where we would love to have you join the family. And our friends at SeatGeek for sponsoring this bad boy. Tim, I'm going to shout out Adam Dunn. I'm shouting out Lisa Alberto.
Lisa,
somebody's got to do it while Chad's not here. We're shouting out Wayne Krenchicki and Nicholas Cage. For Tim Daniel and Dante Bichette, this is Nate Dyson saying so long, everybody.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.